Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, good morning. It's the TexasLending.com morning show. I'm Tress Collins here with Gary Alexander, Mr. Victor Contreras. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me back.
And hey, welcome to a rainy August Saturday morning. Honestly, when I woke up and looked at the weather app and it said we had a chance for rain, I'm like, in August?
Nah. Take it.
And here it is pouring down. So, hey, Gary.
Is it pouring down, really?
Well, it's on the verge of pouring down.
Drizzling.
It was a good little drizzle.
Oh, it's good more drizzle. Than a good drizzle now. Yeah.
Just hoping it
and like
rain
you fine gentlemen,
game.
I was running a little late. So.
Unlike us, we were here with bells on, you know, waiting to talk mortgage talk. We were just talking about the wonderful things that are happening here at TexasLending.com. Mm-hmm. And Victor's getting some business from other places. He wants to talk about that. And what else?
Hey, speaking of good things happening here at Texas Lending, we have news for you listeners. We have a new text line. So to text your questions to us today, text 972-387-4600, just like the phone number you call to talk to
a
loan officer.
That is awesome.
I know, right? So our new text line is 972-387-4600. Get your text questions in this morning, and we will do our best to get them answered. So, or if you just want to call and talk to a loan officer,
you can call that number.
972-387-4600. Pretty easy peasy.
Yeah, lemon squeezy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Lemon squeezy. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. All right. So what's new in the mortgage world, y'all?
Well, yeah, I've been winning a lot of business this week from other competitors.
other.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it happens that way where somebody will go to a different company and not be happy or something will fall through, and then they call Texas Lending to save the day. And
we're like Superman. Save the day.
But it is really shocking to see some of the loan estimates that people present to you or the paperwork that they present to you because, you know, the way that that sometimes you get taken advantage of if you really don't know, right. You know, how to read these loan estimates, right? So, for example, I had a client call in this week, and she was working with one of those big companies out of Michigan. And
the one that's flying?
Yeah, the one that flies in the air.
That went to the moon?
Exactly, okay. That one. And it's an FHA loan, and they were charging 1.5 points of origination, which, you know. Yeah.
I don't ever see points charged on purchases anymore.
Hardly.
Back in the day, when I started in the business, you got a mortgage and you got 1+1. That's how they did it.
Right.
You got one origination and you had one discount point, and that's how they rolled.
Maybe we should explain discount points.
Yeah, discount points.
That's a great idea.
No,
what does
that mean? No, a discount point is to buy your rate down.
Right.
Yeah. And my daughter-in-law is a realtor, and we were talking about 3-1 and 4-1 buy-downs that people used to do.
Right.
Because they couldn't qualify with the higher interest rates that they charged back in the
exactly.
early 2000s and late 1900s and stuff. But it was you paid one origination, and that was how the mortgage company mm-hmm. got paid with the origination fee, mm-hmm. and then the discount fee bought the rate down to help them get into the house. But as well, you just went 1+1. But then you have your other fees, too.
Yeah.
Your
yeah.
processing, underwriting. But if you're getting quoted 1.5
discount points. That's so essentially the way that works is if it's a $200,000 loan, we're doing 1.5% times $200,000. That's $3,000 extra that she was not aware that she was getting. It's an optional fee. Mm-hmm. Essentially, right? And when you look at the rate, it's saving you, you know, what, $30? Mm-hmm. And you're paying $3,000 for
How
it?
How long does it take to pay $3,000 back
that's
at $30?
That's 100 months, right? You know, so.
It's not.
I mean, mostly,
yeah, it's not rocket science.
Exactly, right?
Thank God.
And with these FHA deals, you're going to want to get rid of the PMI. You're going to want to get rid
as possible.
As quick as possible within 100 months, right? So you're not even really going to see the benefit of that. So the rate that they were providing her, my same rate, if I would have matched that, I mean, I was at par, basically, which par means even. That means that you're not spending any money to get that rate.
A golf
term.
Nice.
Which is kind of where you want to be, right? you don't really want to spend extra money to get the rate.
So can you all explain why? I mean, we say it a lot. We get a lot of questions about PMI, but why do people want to get rid of it? I mean, is it super expensive?
Well, I mean, it can be. Yeah. I mean, I saw a loan this week that I'm refinancing a customer that had mortgage insurance of $400 a month. And it's basically a percentage when they bought the house, mm-hmm. and it's tied to your credit scores. This was a conventional mortgage, all right? And so, and that conventional mortgage, they had been in it for 3 years, and they were paying $400 a month in mortgage insurance.
Wow, that is substantial.
Yeah. So
it's $14,000, $14,400.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That's a car.
And do you know what mortgage insurance is?
Doesn't it protect the lender?
It protects the lender for the amount between 80 and 100%, you know, of loan to value is what it protects. Because if there's a foreclosure or whatever, you know, they're most likely whatever they're going to get in a foreclosure. But to get the higher amount, they're guaranteeing, you know, you're guaranteeing them by paying that money every month, which is basically just thrown away. So, you know, we talk about things that we want to refinance right now. My gosh, you want to refinance if you can get rid of mortgage insurance, if you can get a portion of mortgage insurance,
benefit.
If you can go from an FHA to a conventional mortgage. Now is the time when the rates are low like this. Mm-hmm. And here's another thing. A lot of times I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, yeah, the rates have come down. We are in the high threes on or mid to high threes on 30-year fixed mortgages right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, well, I have a 4.5. That doesn't, you know, really, it's not a whole point or whatever. And here's my thought process. I said, well, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a 20-year mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can make the same payment that you're making now and do a 20-year and drop
anywhere five, six, 7 years off
your mortgage.
Right.
And you want to take into consideration when you're at 4.5%, most people aren't factoring in that MI, the mortgage insurance rate. So if you're on an FHA loan, it's usually 0.85.
Yep.
So you're really at 5.35,
yes.
You know, in reality.
I have a guy that has 3.5, and he has an FHA loan, all right? And he wants to do cash out or whatever. And he said, well, gosh, my rate's 3.5 right now, and you're quoting low fours on a cash out. And I go, yeah, but how much is your mortgage insurance? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, my mortgage insurance is $230 a month. Okay, so you're not going to have mortgage insurance anymore. That's money that you just throw away. It doesn't do you any good.
Out the window.
It doesn't count towards getting into heaven or anything.
Right.
You know? So let's.
So basically, if you can keep your interest rate the same on a conventional mortgage where all of the principal and interest is going towards your loan, I mean, all the money is going to something, essentially.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
When you get rid of mortgage
instead
insurance.
Instead of mortgage.
Right.
Mortgage insurance.
Well, great. Well, we have text messages starting to roll in. Get yours in. I know, rolling. It was great.
Kevin and Nate are out in North Carolina this week at the U.S. Kids World Championship.
Pinehurst, I saw.
Yeah,
he's going to do well.
He's in number eight course, which I've played before. It's very nice.
Oh,
and
nice.
He actually won the regionals.
Right.
He won the regionals there last month. Uh-huh. So it's a course that he knows, and in the whole wide world, I think he is in fifth place going into the last day today, like 150 12-year-old kids.
That's pretty fabulous for 12 years old.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a stud.
Dang, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, Nate, he's a good golfer. That's all there is to it, and he's a good baseball player. Yeah, he's going to have to hone it down and figure out what he wants to do. He's also a good Fortnite player.
Did you hear about the 16-year-old kid that won, like, I don't know, millions of dollars? Was
$3 million
in a Fortnite competition?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wrong business, Gary.
Yeah.
Right. I should be in Fortnite business.
Well,
I should be playing Fortnite. I don't even know what it is. Is it a Fortnite or something?
Bless your heart.
Yeah. Well, I grew up on Pong, you know.
I do know. That was, I remember Pong.
And Asteroids and Pac-Man. That was,
and the Oregon Trail.
I don't know if anybody ever won $3 million playing Pong.
I know. That's a valid point, Victor. Valid point. All right. So get your text message in 972-387-4600. This is the new TexasLending.com text line, but it's also our phone line. So if you just want to talk to a loan officer to ask some questions, have them punch some numbers, see where you're at in regards to buying your home or selling your home, you know, because when you sell a home, you need to buy a home. Or if you just want to refinance your home, but you're not sure what that entails, the phone call is free, 972-387-4600. Text us, 972-387-4600. And we'll try to answer your text here. Well, what else is new?
Well, I mean, I've had a lot of talk about the Fed this week. What the Fed's going to do? They drop their rate. That's going to drop mortgage rates. We have to realize that that's not really tied to what we do, mortgage rate wise. Mm-hmm. There was a guy that, I'm going to wait to see what the Fed does on his quotes. And I said, well, yeah, all right. So the Fed came out and said they were lowering interest rates. And then Donald Trump turns around and says, I'm going to raise the tariffs on China. So anything that happened good there was erased immediately by that, you know.
Exactly.
And so it's crazy, the politics of the world, how that all ties in. But, you know, interest rates are low. Let me tell you.
Right.
How low are they?
How low can they go? That's what everybody wants to know.
But isn't it true that interest rates, even though they're low, I mean, they are kind of dependent on credit score and other factors.
Yeah. Loan to value, credit score. FHA, three and a quarter without, APRs around four or something, you know.
Every day.
That's a 640 bar. So your credit score, so much doesn't perturb to more the other qualifying items that you have there, for sure.
Yeah, so you definitely want to take advantage of the FHA, you know, regulations and being able to get in at 640, because it's tough to get a conventional loan at 640 unless you have a good amount of reserves and some other compensating factors. So I always instruct people, get in, especially, you know, being on the purchase team, get in at FHA, start building your credit back up to prepare for that refinance in a couple years, get your scores up into the 700s, call Gary, and then refinance your or call me back, right?
No, call Gary.
Call Victor.
But, I mean, how many people out there are driving around right now, and this is a story I hear all the time. They went to get their mortgage, to sign for their house, and the deal was different than what they were told.
That happened to me, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
But that was like 11 years ago. I guess it hasn't changed too much.
It hasn't. That's what somebody told me today. I mean, yesterday they said that they went to go close on their house, and instead of having 4.25 something like with an APR of about 4.75, they had like 5.5 or whatever. But what happened was it took longer than they'd said, and then they just didn't say anything, and they got extensions, and even though extensions are sent to you, you have to sign when they come out. How many people read the small print?
Exactly.
And they go, and then they sit down, and then they go, wow.
Well, small print, first of all, it's small. If they made it bigger, more people would probably read it.
Right.
I'm just saying.
And if they had big pages, you know, and, you know, they give you a whole book and it's all in big block letters, like my text messages on my phone, so I can.
Yeah.
Everybody in the whole office can read my text messages.
Yeah, well, I have to read these text messages, and we're going to read your text message questions when we come back after this break. But get your text message questions in at 972-387-4600, and we'll start answering those when we come back here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And welcome back to the TexasLending.com Mortgage Hour. I am Tress Collins here with Mr. Victor Contreras, who's part of the purchasing team, yes?
That's correct. Purchase only. Oh. Well, and then some refis, right?
Well, yeah, because they trickle in here
exactly.
And there.
Exactly. You got past clients and then So we'll handle, you know, refis for past clients, but mainly I focus on purchases, which is kind of cool, you know, because you get to really hone in and not have – it's a different type of transaction, right? Whenever
right.
you're doing a refinance versus a purchase, when you're doing a refinance, you're already in the house, you already have all your documents, you already – you know, a lot of that's
or
already taken care
of. Or you hope they have already have all the documents.
Exactly, right, right.
It's like, where did I put that?
very true. But purchasing is, you know, it's a lot more emotional. It's a more – thank you. It's a transaction that you want to be a little bit more personal with, right? It can take mm-hmm. a little bit longer. So you're able to provide a lot more attention and not kind of be bogged down with, you know, the pipeline that Gary's probably carrying right uh-huh. now with a lot of – a lot of clients.
So, hey, Gary, welcome back.
Hey, Gary. Oh. Are we on there?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there talking to you guys. I went to get some coffee and.
Welcome back. Welcome back. So you've been here several years now, Victor.
Yep.
So have you noticed that in the summertime the home purchase business picks up?
Definitely. I mean, people are at a school, you know, parents want to get their kids squared away before the new school year starts. But there's, you know, there's pros and cons to that, right? There's a lot more people looking. Everybody has the same idea.
That's true.
You know, it's summertime. Everybody wants to go out and find a house. So the weekends are busy. Sometimes it's better to go out on weekends like this, on a day like today when
it's
there's
raining.
A lot of people are going to stay home. Maybe you get out there and look and, you know, not have to compete with six other people in a house.
Because
right?
they're staying home.
Exactly.
Roasting marshmallows in the fireplace.
Right, right. So maybe not roasting, we're just roasting marshmallows outside with as hot as it's been.
Can't do that in the rain. I'm just saying.
even in the wintertime, I think it's a good time to buy because, again, the same thing. You know, you don't have as many people going after things. And you tend to see sales prices kind of level out, or maybe, you know, somebody's a little bit more willing to drop a price or maybe give you a little bit more mm-hmm. in seller paid closing costs, right?
Right.
So maybe a little bit better to work a deal.
I know one thing that you got to do is you got to get an inspection
if
you're going to buy a house nowadays because you never know what you're going to get. The kids just bought a house just about a mile from here, and my son and my daughter-in-law, the realtor, they bought a house and they, you know, they had it all checked out and found out that all the insulation upstairs had all kinds of rat feces. Ooh. And all kinds of squirrels.
Inhabitants,
and that, you know, so they had to have it cleaned out, and they had to have that whole insulation, you know,
repair.
They had, the people had to repair it because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. it was just,
yeah,
was,
so you want
and
to
that
talk
was
about,
$6,000.
Right, right. So you want to talk about that, right? Because we have to do an appraisal. That's mandatory, right?
Right.
But an appraiser typically is not going to be up in the attic and checking
He's
the insulation.
Check the feces.
Exactly,
in
right? It's mainly.
He's going to say, hey, there's insulation up here. Cool.
Right, exactly,
know?
Right.
He's going to take a picture. He wants to see if the air conditioning works.
That's right. That's right. So it's mainly they're generating their value off of comparable sales in your neighborhood. So what did your neighbor's house down the street sell for? That's where your value is coming from.
Right.
It's really important to get an inspection because they're going to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. But that's an optional thing. You don't have to do that. But if you're going to buy a
home, you need to have an inspection.
Yeah. And it also gives you leverage, right?
If
all of a sudden
that's
it comes
something
back.
That you pay for up front.
Yeah, you pay for it up front.
You pay $350, $400 for
and you
that.
Get that report back, and then you can your
then
real
you
estate
use,
agent can say, hey,
look,
we got about, you know, $6,000 worth of stuff here. You know, what
how
what
can you
we
help
do?
Us?
Yeah, we need to
either,
come to some agreement.
Either you fix the stuff or we'll have it paid closing costs, you know, which is something you don't see nowadays that we used to see 3 or 4 years ago. You
right.
used to see every mortgage deal I did was, hey, the seller concessions for closing costs. So you didn't have to bring as much money.
Exactly.
You know, you don't see that anymore.
No.
But
no.
When you see it now, that usually means that there's something that needs to be fixed and they're giving you the money to do it, basically.
Why, well, you talked about AC units. Our first question has to do with AC units. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
They're putting in new complete AC units. Does that increase the value? That's from Greg.
It will be noted on the appraisal if you're doing a refinance or if you're selling a house. If the new air conditioning units is definitely a plus, and depending on, you know, what SEER they are, you know, I'm not an air conditioning guy, or how many you did, I mean, mm-hmm. is all relative to value. But yes, it does add to the value of the house.
Yeah, because they consider that an upgrade when you replace something and it's brand new.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to, you know, you're probably not going to see dollar for dollar value, right?
But right.
It's definitely going to be a plus and it'll be noted. And you know, you want to let that appraiser know whenever he's walking your property. Hey, this is brand new.
Yeah,
you know?
This is brand new.
Exactly.
Try it out. You come over here and get by this vent.
Right. as a loan officer, we can't talk to the appraiser, right? We're separate.
Yeah.
But
right.
as a client, I mean, you want to let the appraiser know what you've done to your house and you know, try to, you know, mm-hmm. Get in his ear a little bit and say, hey, you know, this is brand new. The roof is 2 years old. You know, I just redid the kitchen. But you also get, you know, clients that are emotionally attached and think their house is worth a lot more than what it is, right?
Yes. My husband is one of those emotionally attached person. I know if we ever sell our house, it's going to be a trial for me. All right. Let's go on to our next question. Here's an interesting one. Radio ad said credit score of 540 would suffice. I called a loan officer, said minimum of 620 credit score to refinance. Why is that?
I have no idea. If you're doing I can't imagine if you have 540 credit score, you would be doing anything but a cash out.
Mm-hmm.
We do cash out loans to 540. I do them all the time. You give me a call after the show, and you know, I'll walk you through it. I can, you know, look up the your information and see who you talk to, and maybe instruct them. But to let you know, there's certain criterias for that. You know, cash out at 540, your max loan to value at 540 is going to be 65% loan to value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they may not say that in the commercial, but if you wouldn't want to refinance at 540 if you have a rate in the fours and fives, because the rate you're going to get is not going to be good. And
mm-hmm.
then it's called non-QM, so it's basically a company that has a hedge fund of these high interest rate loans that they hold. But the thing is, people get that loan for like a year and improve their credit and come back and can do a rate and term refinance in 1 year. That's a plus. Now, you used to have to do another cash out,
mm-hmm.
so you were subject to rates and everything else. But nowadays, you can do a cash out and then 12 months later come back and get back into a rate and term.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, hopefully the credit scores have gone up, you know,
and
tremendously.
Typically, if you're down in that 540 range, it's because maybe you're a little behind on things, and then getting some cash back and getting a big influx of cash and knocking out some of that debt should bring your scores up to, you know, Gary's point.
Right.
You really don't want to be paying, you know, 8-9% interest for much more than a year and a half. As soon as your rates, your credit score comes up, get back in and refinance into a qualified mm-hmm. mortgage, right? A rate and term.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you would want to do for sure.
All right. Y'all ready for another question?
Yep.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Gary. Here we go. They have a two-part question. What is the lowest credit score you can have to get a mortgage loan? And with a low score, are there specific requirements? What are the specific requirements you have to meet?
It depends on what you're talking about. Like we were talking about before, 540 is the lowest for cash out, refinance, and you can actually do purchase with much you can do down at 540 credit score.
I think it's a minimum of 15% down is the minimum.
15% down.
But the partner that we work with, you know, they'll do stuff on a case-by-case, you know, basis as well. So if you want to call in and give us your scenario, we'll definitely put it together and see what we can do, because I know they've gone below mm-hmm. 540. They come in and talk to us and say, well, we've done this for this person. Typically, if you're down in that 540 range, you need a lot of – if you're buying a house, you're going to need a big down payment and a good amount of reserves.
I've rarely ever seen anybody at a 540 credit score that had reserves you know, it's
right.
just not happened. But
right.
FHA will do down 580.
580, right.
Credit score. You have to be a strong 580.
That's what I tell the clients that call in. And
yeah.
I did a 584. Yeah, I did a person with a 584 credit score a couple months ago. The thing is, so you have a minimum credit score of 580. Then your minimum down payment is 3.5%. Okay, so if we're going to be on the lower end of the spectrum on the credit score, we can't be minimums across the board. So you can't be 580, 3.5%,
and no money in the bank after your closing costs, right?
Right.
We got to make your file look a little stronger to get an approval through the automated underwriting system.
You have to have an automated approval at 580, don't
right,
you?
Right,
you can't do a manual, right?
Well, you can do a manual, right?
You can.
You can do a manual from 580 to 619
if
you get the eligible status through the automated underwriting system, which basically it's you just throw it through the machine. It's a automated underwriting system, and we have to get that approval through them before we can get it to, you know, a human underwriter. Right.
So there is a difference.
Exactly.
There is a difference.
Right? So, yeah, it's all about, you know, making you look strong as a you know, stronger as a borrower. Right.
Right.
So
right.
That 584 client, she had 20% down, you know, and with the understanding that, look, you're putting down 20%, you're still going to have MI because it's an FHA loan.
It's the same MI, though, different than conventional. Conventional has different
tiers
of mortgage insurance for each credit score.
Right.
Mm.
Right. So this person, they're going to get in there and they're going to, you know, improve their credit, and then they're going to come back and refinance into a conventional mortgage and get rid of the MI down the line once their equity state.
When
goes
you
up.
Get a FHA mortgage, like Kevin used to call it, FHA.
I call them FHAs.
You are charged an upfront mortgage fee, funding fee, 1.75, and that's basically what the FHA works off of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your monthly mortgage insurance is the same, no matter what credit. It's 0.85?
0.85, yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. That all the way across the board, unless you put more money down.
So that funding fee, it's 1.75. It's exactly half of the minimum down payment. It's 3.5%. So if you're doing a $100,000 loan, 1.75, $1,750, that is going towards FHA. That's
and
how
it's
they pay
added
bills.
Right to the loan amount.
It's, yeah, you don't bring it to the table.
You don't
it's
bring it
in.
To the table. It's rolled in, but instead of your loan being
$96,500.
Yeah.
It's really more. 97.
But you're financing that other. Yeah, you're,
exactly.
You're financing the other part of it. But it's added to your loan amount, and it's paid out over the entire term of the loan. So,
and I would explain, you want to, I mean, you're dividing that 1.75 by 360 months.
Right.
So it's a good deal.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is great. Y'all keep your questions rolling in. Our new text line here at Texas Lending is 972-387-4600. We're going to answer some more of your questions. Our next question is about reverse mortgages.
Oh,
so
wow.
Stay with us. And when we come back after the break at DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And we are back at the TexasLending.com Mortgage Hour. We're doing the hustle. Everybody, flashback to the 70s.
Yeah, right, Victor. When were you born?
83.
Okay.
He missed the 70s.
Not for you. That's okay.
But this person that wants to talk about reverse mortgages was there in the 70s.
Maybe they were. Okay, so this is great. Our question about reverse mortgages comes from a Cowboys fan who's listening from Kentucky. Thank you for listening. So Gary and Victor want to answer your first question that you texted. And he asked, can the Cowboys win the division without Zeke this year if he holds out? Gary?
How well have they played without him? That's all I can say.
Yeah, they're about a 500 team without him, I think. So
they're maybe not even a 500 team without him. So their whole offense stems around him. So, I mean,
I'd rather not find out. I'd rather just get him in there.
He's not going to hold out. He has 2 years left on his contract. If he holds out for a year, that's another year added to that contract.
It doesn't make sense to hold out.
Yeah, they're going to franchise tag him probably next year. Yeah. He's just letting it be known that he's not happy.
Of course. I mean,
that's what he's
doing. I don't blame
the
guy.
But on September the 9th or whatever, he'll be on that field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he wants to get paid. And he don't get paid if he don't play.
All right. So our Kentucky listener has a reverse mortgage question.
Oh, yeah.
Gary, is there an age limit to obtain a reverse mortgage?
62 is the age limit that you and your spouse need to be at. I know just enough to get myself in trouble about reverse mortgages. I'm not a reverse mortgage expert. We have one here, Peggy Lohr, if you want to call Monday and talk to her. If you're in Kentucky, I'm not sure if she handles Kentucky, but she can definitely still answer all your questions. But 62, and there's a certain percentage of equity you have to have in your home. For a reverse mortgage, it's an FHA loan. There's no fixed rates on it. It's adjustable rate. But once your mortgage is going going reverse, you have no payments right. on the house. All mm-hmm. you have is your taxes and your insurance. And I just did a loan. It's funny, is I just did a cash out loan on a house that had a reverse mortgage, and they decided they wanted to get cash out and didn't want their reverse mortgage anymore. So
That's probably unusual.
Yeah, it was very unusual, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, give us a call on Monday. Ask for Peggy Lohr, or you can email her at plohr@texaslending.com.
Is her last name L O R E?
No,
L O A R.
L O A R.
See, that's good to know.
She can answer all your reverse questions.
All right, here we go with the next question. It's kind of long. Listen carefully. We finally just got rid of the PMI on our mortgage. Payment is only $30 a month less. The interest rate is 4.0. We owe around $147,000 on a $200,000 home. I heard on your broadcast this morning that I might benefit by refinancing to a 20-year opposed to the 30 I currently have. I don't necessarily need any cash out for a refinance, but I wouldn't be opposed to it as long as the PMI doesn't rear its ugly head again. Am I understanding this correctly?
Correct. And what I said was, I don't know how many years you have in your mortgage, because you evidently you had your mortgage for a while to get rid of mortgage insurance. So you might have 5 years into it or something. Definitely. I mean, if you're going to get the same payment at that lower interest rate for 20 years and you're knocking off 5 years mm-hmm. or so. I had one that went forward. They are only missing out on 3 years, but that 3 years of payments was close to $48,000.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm. 3 years worth of payments. So,
and then to hit on the question a little bit there, when she says she doesn't necessarily need some cash back, that's great, because you know it's a different type of interest rate you're going to get with a cash out versus yes. a rate and term, mm-hmm. meaning you're only going to affect the rate of the term. But you want to remember, you're going to get a refund on your escrow account, mm-hmm. right? So you're paying off the mortgage servicer that you're currently with, and they have this account just building money for your taxes and insurance. That gets refunded back to you because that's your money. Mm-hmm. And then let's say you close in August, your first payment's not due until October. There's mm-hmm. another savings. You're not going to have a mortgage payment in September. So it's a nice little bump
in your
savings.
Another thing is, if you're good at managing your money, and this is something I bring up all the time, pay your own escrows.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get that whole lump sum escrow money back. Mm-hmm. You have the money there to pay your own taxes. You can have a lower payment, and you can save your own escrow money, and then you're not going to be involved in this shortage thing that's going on every year now,
right?
Because taxes are going up. I actually saw a house. I always thought you could only go up 10%, but I saw a house yesterday where the taxes went up from $7,000 a year to like $9,000 a year in 1 year.
Ouch.
Yeah.
And I think they just passed some kind of legislation against that they're capping your property, but I don't know enough about it to speak on it.
But maybe if you can learn more about that and bring that back to the table to us the next time you're on the show, that would be great.
Do your homework, baby. Right.
Come on. What good are you? Okay. Y'all, these are great questions. Please get your question in at our new text line here at Texas Lending, 972-387-4600 to text, or 972-387-4600 to call and speak to a loan officer. The call is absolutely free. It's free to crunch some numbers and see where you're at in the house buying or cashback refinance, or simply a rate and term refinance process. All right, y'all ready for the next one?
Shoot.
Gary, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Current mortgage of $78,000, 4.25%, 22 years left, payment of $525. Question, should we refinance at a rate of 3.2% plus CC at $4,000, estimated payment at $350? I don't know what CC
closing
is.
Closing costs.
Thank you. Is it worth refinancing to save $150 from Joe in Rockwall? Thanks for your text, Joe.
So he's saving $150 a month?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like $150 a month extra every month.
Yeah. And it lowers the term of the mortgage?
Well.
You said, yeah, how many years
does
he have
left? Yeah, he's got 4.25%, 22 years left. And he's asking, should we refinance at a rate of 3.2% plus closing costs at $4,000, estimated payment at $350?
That's on it. So he's going out to a new 30-year loan, it sounds like, there.
Ref, he's going to drop his monthly payment that much. It's probably a 30-year. Yeah. It just depends. I mean, if this is your forever home and you're not going to ever move again.
If you just want lower payments,
yeah.
Then yes. Remember, you're not – closing costs are just equity cost. besides the appraisal. The appraisal is what your equity is going up every year. So your
It is here.
Yes. anywhere, really, it is.
Yeah.
But your equity is paying for it because your house is going to go up at least $4,000 in the next year. Mm-hmm. So it's being paid by that. It's not money out of your pocket unless you want to bring that money to the table. But right.
that doesn't make any sense.
You
can also cancel out some of that closing cost with that escrow refund. I mean, you could take that escrow refund and go to Cancun if you want, or you can throw it right back at the principal, and now your $4,000 closing costs that you tacked on are only $2,000 or whatever right. it might be, right? So you can cancel some of that out, or that mortgage payment you're going to skip, you could throw that at the principal.
Mm-hmm. Well, $4,000 in closing costs sounds about right for that size yeah. loan, and that's not including an escrow. So, I mean, that's okay. – Yeah, it would be $7,000.
Yeah, if he's including escrow.
And that's the other thing is when people get their refinance quotes, you have to point out that, hey, we're taking up a new escrow account. Mm-hmm. You're getting your escrow back. I don't know why those numbers aren't always the same. It seems like they always take up more than mm-hmm. what they pay back. And then what I've also found this year is that there's been a lot of escrows that are short.
Right.
So they're not getting back as much, but they're not having to pay the money they were paying anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, so I always tell people to look at your mortgage statement, and it should give you a balance of what's in that escrow
yep.
account, and
uh-huh.
that'll mm-hmm. let you know how much you're going to get back.
All right. Y'all, get your text messages in. We have a lot more text messages to answer. So when we come back from the break, you guys, Gary and Victor, need to get ready for the lightning round. Keep your answers short and sweet so we can try to get through these questions.
Well, my phone said there's lightning in the area. So
that's perfect for our lightning round. Get your question into us. Text it at 972-387-4600. And we will get back to answering y'all's questions after this break here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back to the TexasLending.com Mortgage Hour. We have moved into the 80s. Hey,
now
everyone. This is Victor's era. Although, you were kind of still young when this song was popular, as I recall.
I remember it fondly, though.
Do you? Are you lying to me?
No.
Okay. Hey, welcome back. We are in the lightning round. Gary and Victor, are you ready? Because we have a lot of good questions coming.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Good morning. We love the show and listen every Saturday, but this is our first time to send a message. My wife and I purchased our first home in February of 2018 and keep hearing about refinancing and have become curious to see if it would be advantageous for us. The house was $272,000 and we put a $40,000 down payment on a 30-year, what's the word?
Conventional.
With 30-year conventional with 4.375 interest rate. We have a small PMI around $35 per month, and both of our credit scores are over 760. Our current loan balance is 226. Would this be something we should explore if we are still wanting to stay at 30 years?
That's the question that I got this week. But like I said, it wasn't somebody that had just bought a house within the last 6 months. I would say that you have to realize that you're at this time of year, if you're not at the 20%, you're still going to have mortgage insurance, and you're going to still have an escrow account. And the escrow account that you're going to bring to the table there is basically 12 months worth of taxes and maybe a few months of insurance. So that's being rolled in on top of your closing costs. So you're talking about going from 226 to probably 236. And then when you see that payment, you have to just look at that payment. But you're only a year; you're only 6 months into this. The difference
February of 2018.
Oh, okay. That was over a year.
I think it's definitely worth the call.
Because the value's gone up
and the rate's going to be a lot lower, should be a lot lower than they got last.
You're going to find your rate anywhere from the mid threes to the 3.25. Mm-hmm. I mean, not 3.25, but for on a 30-year, between the mid threes and the low four. A 760 credit score is going to get you in that 3.75 range with an APR around 3.9 something.
Definitely give us a call.
Yeah. Sounds like it's definitely worth a call. All right, next up. I have two houses, one for 4.6% with 102 left on the loan, one at 4.8% with 159,000 left on the loan. Am I able to refinance a loan if I've lived in the house for less than a year? And around how much would I need up front to refinance both houses? I have a 745 credit score.
Both houses? Well, the interesting thing is you have two houses. Is one a second home or is one a rental home? An investment property is going to have a higher interest rate. It's probably not going to be worth worth refinancing unless you needed cash out of it. But on your main home, you can refinance the next day, you know, after you buy it, if that's the question. But you just need to call up here and see if it makes sense. But like I said, if it's an investment property, it probably wouldn't do you any good to refinance that one.
Okay. Next up, this is actually a follow-up question to a previous question we had. They said, hey, I have one more question. We filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy and we were discharged in October. How long do we have to wait to purchase a home? And are there different rules that apply to us, or is the answer to my previous question still apply? The previous question was, what is the lowest credit score you can have to get a mortgage loan? And with a low score, are there specific requirements to meet? That was their previous
text. With FHA, it's going to be 2-year waiting period from the discharge date on your credit report. So,
okay.
2 years. You got to wait and, you know, get that credit score up.
It's 3 years on conventional conventional type mortgage there.
Right.
So,
what about a VA loan? Is that different? Would that
2 years? Same
still
as
2 years.
Still
the government
same as the FHA loan.
Okay. The FHA. It's a FHA. All right. How do I know how much of a house I can purchase? I have two dismissed bankruptcies on my credit, but have currently got my credit back to a 715 score right now.
Just depends on how long.
I think dismissals are 4 years.
Yeah,
on dismissed, right? So it's just, you know, give us a call. You know, let us run through the scenario with you, and we'll be able to let you know what you need to do or get you on the right track if you're not ready to go right away.
Yeah, and the call is free. It's totally worth your time.
And we don't bite. Look.
Yeah. Ooh, lightning. Thanks, Gary.
It's a lightning round.
It's a lightning round, and we have lightning in the area.
With real lightning.
All right, here we go. If my score is 560 and my spouse's score is 780, what would be a credit number we would be looking at when purchasing our first home? Enjoy listening to y'all as usual. Thank you.
Well, a loan is only as strong as the weakest link, right? So we're going to use the lowest middle score of whatever applicant is on the application, right?
And, but we can just go on the higher credit score and not have the spouse as a purchaser.
Right.
If you don't need her income, then I would just go on yours.
Exactly.
Okay. Next question. Here's a good one. What are the disadvantages of using a service like Open Door to sell your home? Disadvantages.
I'm not a realtor. I had a quote done, and you can get a quote done, but they basically offer you a price and then charge you 12%. That's what they do.
Oh.
But you can close tomorrow. I mean, that's how it works.
All right. I think we have time for about one more question. Okay. Hi, my name is Chuck. Hi, Chuck. And I am self-employed, owner, operator, trucker, and therefore receive a 1099. Is there a particular type of loan that suits people like myself? That is a great question. Lots of great questions.
Bank statement loan works great for truck drivers. I've done them many times.
Yes, sir.
Because they can just give us 24 months or 12 months to bank statements, and we can get them a loan with the income that they bring in. You need to call us, because that's not something you can really go over on the radio. But you have to get in depth into what your tax I mean, not your tax returns, but your statements look like. Because we know that 1099, your tax returns are – I've never seen truck driver tax returns that showed a whole lot of income because of all the expenses they have.
Yes. So, I mean, if you live like you're making $100,000, but your tax return says you make $50,000, well, that's what we're going off of.
Yep, that's
but
what
if
you
your
need
bank
to call.
Statements say you make bring in $400,000, we're going to take half of that.
Exactly.
All right, y'all. Our time is actually up. I just want to give a nice shout-out to Chuck. Not only thank you for your text, but, man, thank you for your job. I appreciate y'all over-the-road truck drivers. Without you, we would not have the goods and the opportunities we have to purchase them. Y'all, thank you so much for listening to us this Saturday on this rainy Saturday morning. Be sure to tune in with us next Saturday at the same time, same bat channel here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.